Hello and welcome to a special programme on RNIB Connect Radio with me, Lynn Morgan, which will hopefully transport you back to longer, warmer days via the sounds of the outdoors.
Thank you.
a Bird by Annie Lennox on RNIB Connect Radio. 2020 has been a very strange year, but in spring on RNIB Connect Radio, our thoughts turned to the birds. As traffic lessened, or in some cases stopped, it was possible to hear the birds singing. We asked you to record and send in the birds you could hear in your garden, through your window or open space, and you didn't disappoint. Throughout May, we listened to the recordings you sent in from all over the country on the Daily Connect, beginning with recordings from Amy in Belfast, Gwen in Llanuwchllyn in North Wales, and Alan in Glasgow. Birdsong from Amy in Belfast, Gwen in Llanuwchllyn, North Wales, and Alan in Glasgow on RNIB Connect Radio. Adrian Thomas, Project Manager for RSPB, guided us through the sounds of many common garden birds to help us identify what we were hearing outdoors.
My day job with the RSPB is I'm a project manager doing all sorts of interesting things like running campaigns and setting up new nature reserves. And then in my spare time, I have two big passions. One is wildlife friendly gardening, making your green spaces outside your back door as lovely as possible to welcome in wildlife. And my other big passion is birdsong. And so last year I wrote the RSPB Guide to Birdsong, which is a book with a CD or a digital download, because what I felt was that when you recognise what the different bird sounds are, then it's almost like hearing the voice of a friend when you hear it. You're much more likely to notice it. It's much less likely to wash over you without it registering. But I felt there were things that I could do to help people basically tell one bird sound from another. There is a small group of birds, which includes the house sparrow, the robin, probably the blackbird, which are really frequent in gardens. When we do the big garden bird watch at the end of January and people tell us what they've recorded in their garden, house sparrow comes out as top, the commonest bird within garden environments. So it's no wonder that people are then hearing the house sparrow. It's interesting because male birds are prompted into song. The days lengthen, they get warmer, they get into breeding condition, and song is there to attract a mate and to defend their territory. So it serves both purposes. But our commonest bird has one of the simplest songs of any bird. In fact, many people probably don't even realise that the sparrow is singing when it makes its noise. One note at a time. He's quite enthusiastic about it, but it's certainly not sophisticated in any way. But it's enough to attract him a female. So that is the main sound that you hear from a male house sparrow. So house sparrows are hole nesters. What they really love in the built environment is finding a hole under the eaves of the house, and they'll readily take to a nest box. And you'll probably know that lots of people around the country have put up nest boxes, attached them to house walls, attached them to trees. But they're typically a nest box which has a hole size suitable for a blue tit. But a house sparrow needs a slightly bigger hole. And once you put up a nest box on your house with a 32 millimetre diameter hole, house sparrows are really swift to move in. And given that house sparrows have declined so massively over the last 20, 25 years, their numbers have halved, then It's lovely to think that we can do something to help them, both by putting out a bit of supplementary food, but also by putting up a nest box for them. Now, dunnock, the word, just means dull little thing. That's all that dunnock means. It used to be called the hedge sparrow, but it comes from a completely different family. It's an insect eater, whereas house sparrows are seed eaters. And the dunnock very typically will live in low, thick shrubs, which you'd find in many a garden. And a pair of dunnocks will hop out on the lawn. They'll busy themselves at the edge of the flower border, their little wings flicking, and then dart back into the shrubbery. They are a common garden bird. They don't go around in large flocks like the house sparrow does, but they will be in many people's gardens. And the brilliant thing for the dunnock is, whilst it's difficult to identify it by sight, the sound is very different. So where the house sparrow has that really simple song, one note at a time, the dunnock has a song verse which lasts about 4 or 5 seconds. So you can see how different that is from the house sparrow song. A dunnock, they'll start singing maybe late February time, they'll keep on singing through to about June. And so, yes, when you're in a garden environment and you've got a bird that is singing in this fast shuttling song, then you've got a dunnock.
The Dunnock. My thanks to Adrian Thomas of the RSPB, who will explain throughout the programme what birds can be heard during spring. You're listening to this special programme featuring birdsong, sent in by you during lockdown, which we shared on the Daily Connect here on RNIB Connect Radio. Sophie Barnett from Hertfordshire, a member of RNIB Connect Voices, shares her life with more exotic birds.
I have three lovely parrots. I've got two cockatiel brothers called Chip and Fish, and I have a green-cheeked conure, which is another type of parrot called Pickles. I think birds are one of the best pets that you can actually have as a companion animal in your life. I mean, other than waking me up at 6 a.m. and imitating the smoke alarm, they are wonderful animals to have. And we've trained them to do all kinds of tricks like waving, spinning around, shaking hands. They're so intelligent and they give us lots of laughs every day. So I've always been interested in animals. It's always been my thing ever since I was small. I think it really started when I was in my teenage years and I got some pet ducks, which sound like a strange pet to have. They're just as fantastic as dogs and cats, full of love and affection and amusement, just like our parrots as well. And after that, just seeing how fantastic ducks were, it kind of opened my eyes to looking at other kinds of birds. And from there, I went and studied a national diploma in animal management and then on and completed a university degree, an honours degree in animal behaviour and welfare, all specialising in birds. And I've been working with birds for about 10 years now. I've worked in all kinds of places, whether it's zoos, wildlife parks, farm parks, things like that. And I've worked with all kinds of birds, from penguins and parrots to great big birds like flamingos. So it's a hard road, especially being visually impaired. It's a very difficult field to get into. But the important thing is to try. And if it's something you're really passionate about, then why not go for it? So I was born with cataracts and they were removed when I was just a couple of weeks old, just a little baby. And they didn't put any new lenses in. It's not something they do when you're a child. So I don't have any lenses in my eyes. And from there, my eyes haven't developed properly. And that has led to further complications such as ocular hypertension, which is high pressure in the eye, which could lead to glaucoma, but we'll see, hopefully not. And also Buller's keratopathy, which is a very painful eye condition where my cornea, so the surface of the eye, doesn't flow fluid through properly. And it all builds up and creates these blisters on the surface of my eye. And the second they burst, it is the most excruciating pain you can imagine. And that all coupled with not being able to see as well as everybody else, I have quite thick glasses and just hoping that's all I have. So I started my YouTube channel, which is Bird Nerd Sophie, and I talk all about birds and visual impairment. And it's just a way of showing that we shouldn't be sort of seen as any different. We live normal lives. We're just the same, really. I can see the birds to an extent. I mean, my distance vision is very poor, so seeing things from afar is very difficult. I mean, if they come up close, then that's great. But I think one of the reasons why I love birds as well is because you don't have to be fully sighted to appreciate them. You know, half the fun of them is their song, and there's so many different kinds of noises that they make. We do have some interesting birds around here, but I think one of my favourites is probably the blackbird. I mean, they've got such fantastic songs, and it's all different, so I do love the garden birds. It's not just the parrots for me, it's all birds really, and we have a few nice birds in our area. So my YouTube channel is called Bird Nerd Sophie. That's all one word. And I try and make my videos as accessible as possible. So if you do happen to pop over and subscribe or even have a watch of one of my videos, it'd be fantastic. And I'd love to know if there's any way that I can make my videos even more accessible to people with less vision. So we've got Chip, who is a cockatiel. We've got his brother, also a cockatiel, called Fish. And then we've got Pickles, who is the green-cheeked conure.
Sophie Barnett with her birds Chip, Fish and Pickles. Sophie's YouTube channel is Bird Nerd Sophie, which is all one word. Birds by Bob Marley and the Wailers on RNIB Connect Radio. Here's Adrian Thomas from RSPB describing blackbirds and robins.
So the robin song is, I think, one of the most interesting that we've got. Because most of the bird songs that I could describe for you in the garden setting, they're sung by male birds in spring when the breeding urges are upon them. But robins sing all year round, and both male and female robins sing, which is very unusual for British birds. And it's because they're a loner of a bird, they defend their own territory. So even a female will defend her own territory by using song to do so. And what a decent way of defending your territory, not through fisticuffs, although robins can get into fights if song doesn't work, but using song as that first thing to say, I'm on my home habitat here, this is my patch, don't bother trying to come in because this is mine. And that's what the song is trying to say. The song is really quite different. I always talk about a burst of song as being a verse because that makes sense to us with our knowledge of music. And one verse of robin song is normally really short. It's only about 2 to 3 seconds. The first thing that's really noticeable with robin song, it'll sing its 2 to 3 second verse, then there'll be a gap, and then it will sing something totally different, Then there's a gap, and the next verse will be different again. So every verse is different than the one before. So people then say, well, how am I supposed to tell that that is a robin if every verse is different? And it's all to do with the tone of the song, what we call the timbre of the song. And you know how if you play the same note on a piano or a guitar, you can hear the difference? That's timbre. That is how we tell the colour of a sound to the human ear. And what robin timbre, what the tone of a robin song is, for me, it has something watery about it that no other bird quite matches. And you get long, still notes like a still pool that then overflow into a trickle at the end of it, all within that 2 to 3 seconds. So if you have a bird that's singing a sweet, wistful song, short verses, every verse is different, and within those verses, you can hear this wateriness, this trickling and gurgling, then that's the robin. Many people, when they think, oh, I'd quite like to learn bird song, they think that, well, presumably every robin sings the same song as each other, and every time it opens its mouth, the same song comes out. As a starting point for thinking, well, is this a robin or is this some other bird? Well, hearing that each of those verses is different puts you onto the fact that there's another very common bird that does the same, which is the blackbird. Every verse of blackbird song is different. Whereas you do get some birds where every verse is the same and every bird sounds pretty much the same. Some people get the blackbird and the robin really quite confused because if every verse is different and every verse is quite a short verse, well, I've just described both the robin and the blackbird song there. So again, you turn to the tone of the blackbird song to differentiate it from the robin. And the tone of the blackbird song is deeper. It's more of a baritone rather than the high-pitched robin. It's really quite fluty. Instead of that watery, trickly, gurgliness of the robin, you can hear the fluty individual notes of the blackbird. And then what really helps distinguish the blackbird is after it's done three or four or five fluty notes at the end of its verse, it then switches to something quite different, what I call the terminal twiddle at the end of its song verse. You have to be quite close to the blackbird to hear that, but that's the beauty of being in a garden. We are close to the birds, so we hear all of the nuance within their songs.
Sounds of the blackbird, and before that, the robin. Keep listening to hear more birdsong and explanation from Adrian later on RNIB Connect Radio. I spoke to Wales's premier wildlife expert, Iola Williams, and he gave me his thoughts on birdsong during lockdown.
Well, I'm lucky, you know, I got a garden here on the edge of a small village in mid Wales, and so I'm quite used to hearing birdsong. But even when we go to the nearest town to go and buy stuff, I'm hearing birdsong everywhere. I'm hearing blackbirds, particularly robins, dunnocks singing away, and I have to say it's glorious. I'm not hearing traffic, I'm not hearing aeroplanes going over, I'm hearing bird song, and it just couldn't be better. The blackbird, you know, that's one of the songs you'll hear most of, and it's a beautiful song. A lot of people will say nightingale, and a nightingale has got a lovely song, but it's such a rare bird, no one hardly ever hears them anymore. And for me, it's got to be the song of the blackbird, because it doesn't matter where you are, where you live, there will be a singing male bird not far away from you. And it is a lovely song. Robin's a little bit quieter and more melancholy. Whenever I hear it, I always think about being dumped by my first girlfriend ever, you know, when I was 12 years old and being heartbroken and sort of walking home. And that's what the song of the robin reminds me of. It's a much sadder, much more moody, much more melancholy song. And the other bird that people will be quite surprised, I think, has got a really nice song, is the dunnock or the hedge sparrow. Now, this is quite a dull-looking brown and bits of grey bird that skulks at the bottom of your hedge, but its song is lovely. And I've got two pairs in my garden, near one either end, and they sing every morning, competing against each other. And it is like listening to a choir competition here. Over the last week or so, it's really interesting because some of the birds have arrived back from Africa now, you know, some of the migrant birds. Now, I live on the edge of a fairly quiet lane. There's a house on the other side of the lane, lovely wooded garden there. So I hear a lot of birds from over there as well. And the first migrant I heard was a small greeny brown bird called the chiff-chaff. Now, everyone, if you hear this, you'll know it because the name of the bird is chiff-chaff and the song is a kind of a chiff-chaff, chiff-chaff, chiff-chaff. So once you hear that, you know exactly what that bird is. That's been back for probably about getting on for 3 weeks now. And over the last week, 10 days, I've heard the lovely song of a blackcap. This is another one of these birds that comes all the way up from Africa, a small warbler. The male is grey with a black cap. The female is grey with a brown cap. And they have this song where they sort of ramble on a bit. And actually, as I'm speaking to you, there's one singing from some trees over there now. So that's a little bit more difficult to identify, maybe. But if you hear a bird that sort of goes on a bit and it's fairly harsh, it's not exactly tuneful, it's probably going to be a blackcap. And two other birds, the wood pigeon and the collared dove. They make similar noises, but the wood pigeon has sort of five coos, if you like. It goes coo, 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 coo. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, coo, 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 coo. Whereas the collared dove has three. That one goes coo, 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 coo. So it's 1, 2, 3. So it's worth listening out for those. And I always associate those with the sound of warm summer and spring days. And I love hearing those.
Do you need to get up early to hear the best bird song?
If you want to get the best bird song, yes, you do. Because it's the males that sing Of course, they're advertising this territory, first of all, to attract a female, to keep that female, and to ward off other males as well. So they're the ones that sing. And yes, they're at their very best early on. And it's interesting you say this, because 3 mornings ago, I woke up very early. I was up at 4:30, wide awake. I thought, I might as well get up. And I made a cup of tea, and I came outside, and I recorded which one was the first bird to sing. And at 5:20 in the morning, it was a blackbird. 3 minutes later, it was joined by a robin. 1.5 minutes after that, it was joined by a song thrush. Then, oddly enough, I had a tawny owl call, so that was there as well. And then the great tits, the blue tits, the black caps, they all joined in. But the blackbird is very much an early morning caller. And if you're living in a village or a town or a city where you've got a lot of lights around, then they can sing through the night often, robins and blackbirds particularly. I'm lucky here, it's very dark at night. So it was only at just before first light that these birds began to sing. If you were in a rural area, especially if you're in a woodland in late April and early May, that's where you get the best dawn chorus. You know, a lot of the African migrants, the red starts and what have you, they're all back joining the resident birds. But it doesn't matter. If you're in a city, you still should hear things like robins and blackbirds and wrens and song thrushes singing away. So there's no reason at all why you can't do this wherever you are. And you are right, getting up early does help. And I tell you what I find helps me. I'm a man who likes his food. So when I get up early and I come outside and listen, it's usually with a cup of tea and a cake. So that's my tip. It's nothing to do with birds whatsoever. It's if you're going to do it, come outside with a cup of tea and cake, because you might as well be comfortable while you're doing it.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night.
Blackbird by Paul McCartney, and before that, Yola Williams on the birds he hears in spring, and some advice on how to enjoy listening to the Dawn Chorus on RNIB Connect Radio. You continue to send in your bird song to the Daily Connect with contributions from Hannah, Elma and Yvonne. Birdsong recorded by Hannah in Caerleon, Elma in Irvine and Yvonne in Glasgow on RNIB Connect Radio.
This is RNIB Connect Radio.
It's not difficult to donate a little to RNIB. In fact, it's as easy as treating yourself to the latest CD, digital device or Amazon Echo. Raise money for RNIB whilst you shop at Amazon. Amazon Smile is a simple and automatic way for you to support RNIB every time you shop, at no cost to you. When you next sign in to Amazon, use the address www.smile.amazon.co.uk and nominate RNIB as your charity of choice. The webpage looks exactly like amazon.co.uk and it remembers all of your login details, order history, wish lists, wedding lists, etc. But importantly, RNIB will receive 0.5% of the net sale of most goods that you can buy on the site. It's that easy to donate. Tell your friends and family how simple it is to donate to RNIB every time you shop on Amazon, simply by using www.smile.amazon.co.uk. Treat yourself on Amazon and support your favourite charity while you shop.
This is RNIB Connect Radio.
More from Adrian Thomas of the RSPB now, who explains how to identify the great tit and the blue tit.
It fascinates me. Blue tit's one of the most familiar birds in gardens, one of the commonest birds in gardens, but very few people actually recognise its song. Now, it's got a close cousin, the great tit, which is common as well in gardens, and the great tit has a well-known song because it goes teacher, teacher, teacher. You get this seesawing between two notes in a bold tone. But the blue tit is a much subtler song, and what the blue tit does, it normally has a couple of high notes and then drops to a lower, but still a high-pitched little shimmer. And it's no wonder, really, is it, that people don't recognise it, because it's not as standout as that teacher of the great tit. And it's easy to lose that up in the branches of a tree.
Examples of the great tit and the blue tit explained by Adrian Thomas of the RSPB here on RNIB Connect Radio. On the 1st May Bank Holiday Monday, the Daily Connect played the bird song sent in from Jane in Glasgow, Lyndon in Llantwit Major and Bernadette in Hanbury, Worcestershire, followed by bird sounds from Jeanette in Dinas-Powys, Hilary in Newport and a familiar voice on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, it's Robert from Talking Books and Read On, and this is what I can hear out my bedroom window.
Song from Jane and Hilary and our very own Robert Kirkwood, along with recordings from Jane, Lyndon and Bernadette on RNIB Connect Radio. Time to hear from Adrian from the RSPB, who describes the sounds of my favourite birds, the wood pigeon and collared dove.
So the wood pigeon really stands out, very common in gardens these days. Whereas many birds have declined, the wood pigeon has increased in numbers. It's one of the few success stories that there is out there. So more and more people can hear wood pigeons. And it's a deep lowing call. The bird barely opens its beak to sing because the noise comes from within its chest cavity. And I find that it's the rhythm of the wood pigeon song that really picks it out. It's rather different to that of the collared dove, which is another familiar member of the pigeon and dove family in gardens.
Adrian Thomas, along with the sounds of the collared dove and before that the wood pigeon, on RNIB Connect Radio. During May, Natalie got in touch with RNIB Connect Radio. Here's Simon Pawley.
You're listening to the Daily Connect, and time now for the birds today. And the recording has come from one person, Natalie Holford, in Tamworth, Staffordshire. Natalie writes, "What a lovely idea to ask us to record a bird song. Unfortunately, the weather has turned a bit wet and windy, and the birds don't seem to be singing as much. But I thought you might find this recording funny, as when I tried to record the beautiful song of, I think, a blackbird, my cat, Ginge, decided to sing to me. It's a little distorted by the wind, but I think it's quite funny. I live in the centre of Tamworth, next to a railway line. And I am lucky to have a garden. And when I can sit in that, the COVID problem is 1,000 miles away. Thank you so much for keeping us all entertained and not feeling quite so alone." So here's Natalie's bird song, and see if you can make out the voice of Ginge. Thanks, Natalie, for sending in your bird song recording, and of course, thanks to you, Ginge, as well.
Simon Pawley, presenting the Daily Connect. No stranger to RNIB Connect Radio, Nikki Coburn loves bird song. I spoke to Nikki, who had her guide dog James by her side, and asked when her interest in birds began.
I think I've been interested in birds since my father came home with two tapes that he'd found for me. And I was three then, so I don't like to say how long ago that was, but it was quite a while. They were actually done by David Attenborough, and he introduced each bird sound, and they were all split into different habitats, so parks and gardens, woodland areas, and then it just did the type of birds that you would expect to find in those particular areas. And then the second one that Dad gave me was about which birds you might find in one particular month of the year. So it sort of made it easier to listen to. And then I'd say, oh, you know, that's a chaffinch, or that's a dove, or a woodpecker, and things like that. And it just sort of went on from there. Well, my parents ran a day centre for blind people in Northampton, which is in the East Midlands. So it was sort of an urban area, but we also had lots of parks that we could go to. We used to go to Abington Park, and then every year we'd always go on holiday. So we would either stay near the Thames, we went to Pembrokeshire one year. So again, I was always able to hear different birds in different parts of the country that perhaps we wouldn't have got in Northampton, or perhaps were easier to hear. Hearing is very important to blind people, and I always made sure that I could try and recall what the different birds were. And as I got older and went out with people that were much more experienced than I was, they would teach me certain ways of remembering each bird. Because I remember learning the wood pigeon call, and he actually sounds like he's saying his name, because he sort of sounds like he's saying, I'm a wood pigeon, I'm a wood pigeon. And I think when we hear the swift, that is a sound that really shows me that summer is on the way. You know, it's such strange times at the minute. I think it's doubly important to just be and just listen and just stop. The birds, because there's no traffic, I read in the paper the other day that they are actually possibly going to be able to breed a lot better and possibly be able to produce more babies, because we haven't got any background noise. They can hear each other a lot more, so they haven't got the traffic that they're working over, or that, you know, they're trying to say to their mate, oh, hi, I'm over here, you know, what are you like? You know, for nature, it is going to be totally different. We live right near the coast, and there's a lovely bird called the oyster catcher. And when we walk along the prom, we often hear them, because they are either on their way to getting food or coming back after having a feed. They obviously don't catch oysters, because we don't have oysters here, but they will catch mussels, and then they drop them from a height to try and open the shells. So you can find all the remnants of the shells all over the prom, and that's how you know that they have arrived or that they've been. And then another bird I like, which I don't think I'm going to hear unless I go on to the West Shore, which is another part of Llandudno, is the skylark. The listeners might be able to appreciate the skylark sound, because it's a very gorgeous, fluty sort of call, and they can just sing for ages at a time. We have a really beautiful blackbird who will just sit there in a tree and just sing and sing and sing. We also have doves as well, which are slightly similar to wood pigeons, but they sound like they're saying retriever, retriever, retriever. We also have blue tits and great tits, and we have a raven as well, which is a great big member of the crow family, and I can often hear him flying over, and he sort of says like that. I think it's a lovely legacy to have, that, you know, my parents were able to teach me when I was younger, because it's been so important in so many areas of my life, no more so than now. While our life is not the same as it was, the birds are still carrying on as normal.
Nikki Coburn and her guide dog, James. You're listening to this special programme featuring birdsong sent in by listeners during lockdown, which we shared on the Daily Connect here on RNIB Connect Radio.
This
never before.
Songbird by Fleetwood Mac on RNIB Connect Radio. Here's Adrian Thomas from the RSPB.
The Wren, I think, is another interesting one because whilst people may not recognise its song, this is a bird that acts most like a mouse, scurrying around deep in undergrowth, rarely seen, and yet it's the commonest British bird of any bird, with about 11 million pairs in the UK. And its song is one of the most powerful and one of the most uttered of any bird, despite this being only a couple of inches long. It really is a powerhouse of a singer. And its song, it's quite long for a bird song verse. It packs in over 100 notes and it's like a sequence of ultra fast trills. And that is the powerful song of the Wren. Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, the RSPB, we've got over 200 nature reserves out there full of wonderful wildlife. So those have had to be kept going. But the world and the natural world will still need us to make moves to save it. So we've been busy in the background, readying ourselves for what needs to come next post-Brexit, post-coronavirus, in order that as a nation, we do what we can to safeguard our wildlife and stop the disastrous declines that have been happening to them. You may not be aware, but we've lost 40 million birds from the British landscape in the last 50 years, which is a shocking level of decline. And we need to somehow reverse that. And part of doing that is ensuring that people, even in today's urbanised society, remain connected with nature. I'm sure listeners will recognise how lovely it is to be out in the open air and hearing birdsong and sensing that you're in a vibrant, lifeful world around us. And that's why we have been championing birdsong in the way that we have.
Adrian Thomas of the RSPB on RNIB Connect Radio. You continue to send in your bird song, and some listeners certainly like the idea of recording, as they sent in more than one. Here are recordings made by Amy, Diana and Sophie, followed by those of Bernadette, Hannah and Alan. Birdsong sent in by listeners of RNIB Connect Radio. For the final time today, here's Adrian Thomas of the RSPB, who alongside his passion for birds, sits his enthusiasm for wildlife gardening.
What's happened in the last 20 years is that there's been a much greater recognition that we can really help stem the decline of wildlife by the things that we can do in our gardens. Our gardens aren't barren wastelands for wildlife. They can be incredibly rich habitats, and we can have some of our most intimate encounters with wildlife within our gardens. And the techniques for improving your garden for wildlife are really quite simple. First one is plants. If you've got lots of plants in your garden, that is a great starting point. That is the bedrock of wildlife friendly gardening. And anybody who's got a gardening ilk to them will love the fact that it's just an encouragement to grow lots of plants. And if you can have ones which have berries and flowers, then all the better. Adding water to the garden is really useful for wildlife, which could be a bird bath or could be a pond. Not getting rid of things such as logs and sticks and leaves and grass clippings, and having composting material adds another habitat. And then providing supplementary food in the garden in the form of obviously bird food, bird tables, bird feeders, but also hedgehog food these days can really help. And then also not using the chemicals that kill creatures, the pesticides out there. It's not a case that you have to go organic, but if you can reduce the amount of pesticide use in a garden, then obviously you're not knocking out layers in the food chains. And that means that the creatures above them, the birds and the mammals and the bats, can thrive. And doing those things, just making small changes in the way that you garden, can have really profound effects on the amount of wildlife. It can double, triple, quadruple the numbers of butterflies and bees and birds that use a garden.
Adrian Thomas, Project Manager of the RSPB. The last recording of Birdsong sent in by you to RNIB Connect Radio is from Ryan and Sarah in Renfrewshire and Steve in Lancaster, who brought the month of Birdsong on the station to a close. Birdsong from Ryan and Sarah in Renfrewshire and Steve in Lancaster. My thanks to everyone who contributed to today's programme. I hope you enjoyed the sounds of the birds, which captured a moment in time like no other, May 2020. Here are the Beatles with Free as a Bird on RNIB Connect Radio.
that we once